It's the music of a people who will not be slaves again, Earl.
Are they singing?
Is the beating of the drum. There is a light that will shine tomorrow come.
We could just have Nicholas sing Les Misérables for an entire episode.
I could do that. It's almost to be the Valjean de my Javert. I could totally just do the musical, just start. look down, don't look him in the eye, and then just go from there.
Yeah, I'd have to have, like, a lyric sheet of Les Misérables, like, set right in front of me so I can remember all. Like, I watched the film, and I was like, I am not ever, I remember bits of, like, that was, like, my first ever really major experience of Les Misérables, so.
I love that show. I did not love that movie. I don't know, you might have read a thing about that.
Yeah, I read a thing of a something, of a sort.
In the minority with that one, but...
What?
It seemed to be in the minority with that one from...
Really?
What I've seen. From what I've seen, a lot of people seem to be big on the movie.
People like it, but I think a lot of people have the exact same problems with it I do. Is the guy didn't shoot it very well, and Russell Crowe is terrible. Pretty much every complaint I've ever read about it is those two things.
You know, it's weird. Russell Crowe didn't really bother me that much, but I just, like, well, it's kind of like, it's like it does, but I just kind of like, but like I said, it's my first time ever dealing with anything Les Misérables, so it's more like this is like an interesting introduction to the whole thing, because I've never really dealt with it before. Like, and Russell Crowe, like, not too bad. I've heard worse voices done to cinema, so.
Yeah, but he can't sing.
It's more like
that's
the man.
It's pretty much that's it. He can't sing very well. He can sing. He's all right. One thing, you know, I'll point out is that it seems anything good in the movie comes from the original material, not from what's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess would be the way to put it. A lot of the people who are like loving it are reacting to the stuff that was already there, not anything new in the movie or anything that's like, oh, look at the interesting thing, the way he shot it. No, it's you reacting because Anne Hathaway's singing your fucking tits out.
Anne Hathaway kicked ass.
Russell Crowe, because of the way they chose to shot it, by having the live singing on set, mm-hmm. and having the acting within the singing and everything, everyone else is acting their asses off. They're, like, singing, and they're acting within it, and they're putting emotion into it, like, obviously, just through Anne Hathaway's I Dreamed a Dream. That's entirely acting. That's not even, like, that song is usually sung very beautifully. It's usually, like, a very beautiful, uplifting song, which is fucked up, because it's a really fucked up song. So she actually sang the emotion that the song is about, rather than the one it usually engenders.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Crowe is just singing.
Yep. Okay, I can get that.
Just throughout the play, there's things, he should be angry, he should have bravado, he should be, you know, very self-righteous and puffed up, but instead it all just comes out like he's singing Nickelback karaoke down in the bar.
I actually can't give you that, because I was like thinking, because Russell Crowe's done kind of like more of a like a rock style voice, and that's what he's kind of doing, is more of a rock style influenced voice for something that should be much more of a dramatic. So like, yeah, I can see what you're going for. I actually really can. It's, I don't know, it just wasn't like, though Hugh Jackman, holy god, that man got into that dang movie.
Also playing my favorite character in it, so he fucked it. But then what's even worse is that I saw a show last weekend. I saw it live. They were doing a run in Philly.
Yeah.
And the guy, Javert, in that was fucking awesome. Like, the dude was, like, seriously just, like, blew me away with how good he was. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? Where were you? It's not like anyone's going to see this movie specifically.
Not big enough
to start. They're like, look, Russell Crowe's in this movie. My past few weeks have been a lot of Adventure Time. And
time.
Zero Dark 30 and Django Unchained. So
we can talk about that. I mean, it won't be much of a... But
I still haven't seen Django Unchained.
It's really good. It's really good.
I've heard people are saying it's one of his best movies in quite some time.
I would not agree with that. I liked it a lot. It's a really good movie. I wouldn't even put it in his top three. I think my favorite's Inglourious Basterds. That's my favorite Tarantino
movie. I love Inglourious Basterds.
This one doesn't have... I'm trying to think of how to put this. This one's more of just a straight-up revenge film. Like, it's not even a Western. It's a blaxploitation film that just happens to be filmed in the Old West.
Fair enough.
But Christoph Waltz is fucking awesome in it. Jamie Foxx is really good. Leonardo DiCaprio and Sam Jackson are both evil as fuck. And they say the N-word a lot.
Have you seen that interview where he's
with the Sam Jackson one? Yeah, that's
yeah.
Awesome.
And yeah, I bet that guy is crapping his pants. Like, he's trying to get me to say the N-word, and he's going to strip out if I do. Okay,
I like this trend, actually. You've noticed it more and more with actors, like, giving shit back to the people asking them dumb questions. Like, when they, when they're doing, like, an Avengers junket, someone asked, Robert Downey Jr., like, something about how heavy the suit was, and then they asked Scarlett Johansson her diet. And Robert Downey Jr. was like, why didn't you ask me that? Why would you ask her that? Like, she's trained to get in this movie. Why would you ask me about lifting stuff and her whether she's eating? That's bullshit.
Yeah, there's a whole...
It's something similar, too, I think.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them with, It's her and Anne Hathaway. Like, I think she called it rabbit food questions.
Yeah.
And I think there's one where, like, I think they asked Anne Hathaway, like, what, like, how she got into the cat suit, and she's like, are you trying to fit into your own or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it makes sense. Like, why would you need to know that unless you're trying to work out for it? But, it's this magical place that's soon going to be replaced by a great Netflix account.
Oh, is that how I watch Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones. There are many ways to watch Game of Thrones,
except for through HBO most of the time.
A lot of them not through HBO.
Me and my girlfriend we're moving in a month to this big ass barn, like right down the road. Like, it's this converted barn farmhouse, which has, like, there's one little apartment in it, which is just a woman who lives by herself with her dog, and then around the corner of it, like a different corner, is like a three-bedroom apartment where it's like a mom and dad, two kids or something like that. And then most of it is this giant, like, 3-4 fucking baller ass thing, which is going to be me, my girlfriend, her kid, and our friend Leo. And it's huge, but we have to get new cable because the cable we have now is shitty. And so we're getting Comcast. And apparently part of the deal is we get 3 free months of HBO, which starts in March.
Woo-hoo!
So I'll basically be able to watch Game of Thrones live we'll have three months, one Game of Thrones is on the air, and then it's gone. And I'm like, fucking right, we're not renewing this shit.
It's like, yep, I got Game of Thrones. I'll just, because Game of Thrones should be over by at least May, yeah, so
when should it start? It starts
it's like 10 episodes, right?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it doesn't start, though.
March.
Yeah,
okay.
So you should be able to see most of it by the time.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not going to download it anyway, but.
Yeah. So.
I totally am. Just so I can watch it all again. But.
Yes.
It's
really going to be difficult for cable companies to kind of justify, one, their prices, and two, their content when Netflix is doing a killer job of signing up all these deals. I feel bad for, like, Amazon Video and Hulu.
Yeah,
I mean,
because Netflix is $8 a month for streaming.
Netflix
just signed up, like, a whole bunch of Warner Brothers shit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They signed up Disney, Pixar, they signed up Warner, they signed up...
Yeah, Adventure Time. I can watch Adventure Time whenever I want and not have to download the seasons again, which I have not done in the first place.
Yeah, so they have all it is, and, like, what are you going to compete with? I mean, first-run Disney movies, which includes Star Wars, Marvel, Pixar.
And you'll get that in a couple years. I mean, it won't be for a while yet, but still, you'll get it.
Yeah, that's, and granted, it's not until, what, 2015? But
yeah.
If you think about it, that's Avengers 2, that's Star Wars Episode 7, that's Guardians of the Galaxy. All that stuff, first one on Netflix.
I mean, that's going to be a big get. That's like a gigantic get. And now Cartoon Network made their deal, so now you'll start be able to watch Like, have you ever had that moment of like, hey, I wouldn't mind watching this something
yeah,
something
show? Yeah, finally, DC cartoons are showing up. I mean, so far, I think the only one they confirmed is Green Lantern.
If they put Justice League on there, yeah, that...
Shit, what's going to happen is a bunch of people are going to get stoned and just be like, I'm going to watch the entirety of Regular Show, and then...
Yeah, I don't get
Regular Show, and I don't get Adventure Time.
You Dude. Don't get Adventure Time? Adventure Time's awesome!
I watched a little bit of Adventure Time, and then I've been getting back into it a little bit again, and I'm like, oh god, why have I been gone away from this show so long? Good god, it's amazing.
Adventure Time, it's goofy kids thing, but there's also this weird kind of bittersweet pathos underneath the whole thing when you think about the fact that the place where they live and all these crazy things are happening, it's actually Earth in a post-apocalyptic future. Like, when they show pictures of the planet from space, there's a big chunk taken out of it, and it's Earth. And they call Finn, like, his name's Finn the Human. He actually is the human. There's no other humans in the world.
Wow.
So it makes the show a little bit more fucked up.
Where's his parents?
He doesn't have any. He's an orphan. There's this whole backstory which they, like, reveal really little bits and pieces as they go along. Like, you kind of figure out, like, you just see there's, like, weapons in abandoned buildings. And sometimes, like, you'll go underwater and there was just a tank in the middle of the water. There's, like, little bits and hints about it until, like, you get to the end of season three or four, where they get into this whole, like, essentially it stops being as comedic and becomes a little bit more dramatic at times, too. But they're putting a lot more, it's not just like a goofy little kid, it's not like, as much as I love Chowder and Flapjack, those shows were just comedy, straight up. Mm-hmm. Adventure Time is like its own little weird mix of comedy and action and drama and awesome.
When I was working out one day, I saw a little bit of this gumball show, and I was like, what in the world is this? That was an odd experience. But Adventure Time, yeah, that... If I can find that whenever I'm working out, it's like timing just right. I'm like, yeah, that's my TV. That I can watch that easily when I'm on the elliptical. So,
and they get a lot of crazy shit past the radar too.
Yeah, I'm kind of amazed what they get. I always crack up and I go, man, I thought Nickelodeon was getting away with weird crap back in the '90s, but good night.
Yeah, there's like weird jokes. I mean, Jake is the dog. His girlfriend is Lady Rainicorn, who is a fine rainbow unicorn who speaks Korean. And they just had kids.
I just like that.
The thing in one episode is she tells him she's pregnant, and then one of the episodes a couple weeks ago is about their kids.
I just saw the episode where he met her parents, and I was like, oh god. Like, oh, this is messed up, but it is hilarious.
You gotta watch a bunch in a row, and then I think you'll get it more.
Okay, because I've seen an episode like out of context here. I've seen an episode out of context here. I still get into it, but it's more. You know, I wonder if we should get into a discussion about a quick episode of just the odd evolution of kids shows from.
Episode.
Has kids shows evolved, or is it just that we kind of paid? Because there are still a lot of preppy kids TV shows.
Yeah, there's still a lot of painful damn kids shows out there.
There weren't ones to this level when I was a kid, I can tell you right now. Like, the pinnacle of kids shows when I was a kid were fucking Transformers and that shit.
But we got stuff like Ren and Stimpy, which is really screwed up for kids as well.
I don't even know, but see, that was always a question of whether that was even a kid show. Like, there was a lot of weird protests around that at the time it came out. Because of how weird...
Yeah, but, I mean, it was still kind of marketed as a kid show.
They had toys.
I'm also looking at it from the angle that they were weird, but they didn't have... I'm trying to think of the word. The subtext, I guess. Is that these are kid shows that are, like, they have the weirdness and the goofiness, but they don't have, like... Like I say, Adventure Time and Regular Show and stuff like Gravity Falls has,
I just
like...
I discovered Gravity Falls recently. Yeah, oh, my
God. It's a Gravity
Falls. That is
Falls.
Fun. That's really fun.
There's a lot of of, like, underlying things going on in it that are, like, almost like life lessons and stuff, but, like, really serious ones, not just, like, listening, oh, don't steal, or don't kill your neighbor and take their goat, or whatever. there's like serious, like, coming-of-age shit that they would never have even addressed until recently.
Yeah.
Just because, like, we'll be like, oh, you can't talk to kids about that. Like, no, kids are fucking smart now.
Kids are way smarter than you give them, than anyone gives them credit for now. And
I mean, that's a discussion we've had before, but you still kind of get stuff like, you know, you still kind of get stuff like SpongeBob. I guess I'm missing a meta commentary on that show.
Yeah, but I think SpongeBob has a little bit of a lot of weirdness going on around the edges, too. Maybe not to the extent that Adventure Time does, but there's lots of weird, some shit going on in that show.
Yeah, SpongeBob's pretty subversive in its own right. I mean, it was always a thing in cartoons, like starting from even in the late 80s into the early 90s. But as of the years have gone on, it's become much more of a thing of you can have that subversive humor for all ages mixed in there. And kids get it, great. And if they don't, well, they'll get it when they're older, by golly. Their parents will get it, and they'll have as much fun as a kid watching the show.
I'd say if anything's the truly insidious, like, crap stuff is, like, the live-action Disney Channel shows. Because they're just basically, like, the TGIF sitcoms of the 90s just with kids in them.
Well, look at, I mean,
they don't have anything worthwhile to them other than, oh, you should be nice to your friends.
Yeah, I mean,
watch Star Wars, kids.
Look at, say.
I don't know why I turned to Lucas.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it is like when you deal with like a lot of the cartoons, like a lot of the live action, like live action Nickelodeon stuff is pretty much 80s to late 80s, early 90s sitcoms, and done for teenagers, and first thing you realize is the guy who starred and headed the class back in the late 80s, early 90s, what is now in charge of the Nickelodeon Kids Empire. And it's like, it makes perfect sense, because I had someone talking about that one day, like, you realize a guy who played on the head of the class is in charge. He's like, it all makes sense now.
Yeah, but he also, the thing is that I think Nickelodeon's less of a problem, because iCarly was actually a fairly decent show.
Yeah, I'll give you iCarly. I actually kind of...
I'm worried about the Disney Channel stuff, because the Disney Channel stuff, I've watched it because Bella likes it. It's a little bit more insidious, and, like, it's all about, oh, look at these weird outsiders, but, you know, it's all about fitting in.
Yeah, I give you that, because the Disney Channel stuff's pretty painful. I can't get through five minutes of that.
And Disney has this, like, hard and fast rule that their characters can't, they have to be kids, and they need to be kid stuff. Like, even, I remember when I used to replay Boy Meets World, they would skip certain episodes because they deemed the content was too mature for their audience.
Yeah.
Like the episode where Sean and Corey get drunk and piss on the cop's car, or there's an episode where it's a one-off gag, but like Eric outs the football team.
Mm-hmm.
They won't show that episode because it has gay characters for all of like 10 seconds.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's I don't want to keep bringing up Adventure Time because it sounds like I'm just pushing that show, but that's another thing that show does really well is there's a progression to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because Finn, the character, is, like, I think he's 12 at the beginning of the series, and he's actually getting, like, slightly older and more mature as the series goes on. So the fact that that's become, like, a little bit of a subtext to some of the more recent episodes about how he is growing and growing older and not really sure of what he wants and girls and all this crazy stuff. Except in this case, the girls are anthropomorphic bubblegum and fire and a vampire queen.
I really need to watch more. I've heard of some of these characters, but I really need to watch more of this show. Netflix, when you get this up, I'll probably be watching a lot of Adventure Time soon.
But yeah, and I mean, I'm trying to think of other cartoons. I mean, even like the Saturday morning cartoon, I guess, would still be better. Stuff like Young Justice and Legend of Korra.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's examples, yeah, of stuff where they're like saying, well, kids aren't dumb. If you make a show with... I think it's more about having quality to it. Like, before, kids' cartoons were always just, well, we got to shit out 60 episodes, and we just run them over and over and over again. Now they're like, no, we can actually put some work and thought into this, and kids will still like it, and you'll still be able to sell the toys, but...
Well, it depends. It depends on who you are, because that's not... No, I don't want to pick on them, because... But that's what... That's Marvel's running opposite of that, which is very odd when you consider their movies are... been built up over 5 films to the Avengers or whatever, but like Jeff Loeb just came out recently and said that, you know, one of the reasons they canceled Spectacular Spider-Man and the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes was because they featured long-form serial storytelling, and he finds that the evidence is that kids don't enjoy that stuff. They prefer kind of one-and-done episodes.
Yeah, I
can
get that.
Jeff Loeb's an asshole, and fuck all of his opinions.
Yeah, but I mean, there is some evidence to that, because if you think about it, like, even the most popular comedies on TV shows tend to be those CBS sitcoms that are, like, one and done. Like they have overarching plots, but they aren't as in-depth as something like a Parks and Rec or Community or something like that.
Well, that falls into a different argument, which would be a really long podcast.
Yeah.
About different viewership habits and why CBS gets the ratings, and... I don't really feel the need to go into it, but that argument really doesn't apply to children. It applies to their parents and their grandparents. I'll bring up again, Adventure Time, Legend of Korra, or Young Justice, is those are serialized. Adventure Time is one of Cartoon Network's like biggest hits. That came out as like an afterthought when they were starting to transition into more like live action stuff. Like they were doing.
Did they stop that?
Yeah, they did, because of Adventure Time.
Yeah, because once
Adventure Time hit so big and like did so well for them, they're like, "Well, I guess we were going in the wrong direction." And that's when they started doing a regular show, and that's a Gumball.
They're still trying to do some live action, but for the most part, they focus more time on their animation lineup, and that's a good sign for Cartoon Network for one thing.
There's a balance to be struck between serialization and
procedure,
one-off storytelling. Finding the right.
Sorry, go on. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Awesome.
I kind of want to take the Wayback Machine here to a couple of stuff that I watched when I was younger that were serialized, I loved the hell out of Exo Squad when I was younger. I mean, I loved freaking Exo Squad. That show was during around the time period it came out on like the early to mid 90s. It was one of the smartest shows I'd seen of that period, because it had a serialized story involving the Earth Terrans fighting against these sort of like the Neo Sapiens in this giant epic battle, and they managed to keep it going for about 2 seasons. And for that period, that was impressive to keep an ongoing story going, keep that going, keep it intriguing for people. And some people actually found this, even though it got shunted around to early Saturday morning, weird time slot Sunday morning, at like 11 a.m., and it was one of my favorite shows, and it was a serialized story. And
I think that speaks to another problem, though, is that at times, it's not necessarily the serial nature of a show, it's that networks still don't know what to do with them at times, because, I mean,
it was syndicated.
Look at Young Justice. Young Justice is, 2.5 years into the run, and we're just halfway through the second season.
Yeah.
And they take like 4 or 5 months off between like every 4 episodes, and it's really hard to kind of keep that story momentum going if the network's like, okay, it started off on Friday nights, then it moved to Saturdays, and then it's Saturday morning during the DC Nation.
That's more of a situation of the DC the Cartoon Network and how they're the handling of DC Nation, and that's...
Well, I mean, that's true, but even before the DC Nation, because the DC Nation came out a year after Young Justice first premiered, they were still handling it poorly. I mean, part of it was that this show was kind of Russian production, I think. It was announced and released within a year, which most TV shows tend to have like a 2-year window when they announce these animation-wise. But it's not just them. I've heard they've done it with Scooby-Doo Mystery.
Yeah, they've done it with a lot of series.
Yeah, a lot of shows, and you know, sometimes stuff happens. There are TV shows that pop up and stuff happens, you know, like a major event, you know, like Sandy cut off a couple of shows for a week or two, presidential election and stuff. So that happens, but yeah, an example, because I love 24, is that 24, when it initially aired, would air it would air like a normal TV show. So it would have like the 12 episodes in the fall, take a couple of months break, and then come back for the 12 episodes in the spring. Mm-hmm. And Fox learned eventually that that kills the momentum, because you have to remember what happened the prior 12 hours. And then you have like this huge 3-month chunk where it's missing. Mm-hmm. So what they started to do is they would just compress the entire season into that 4 months from January to May. You know, ratings for the show got better and people were on board. But yeah, it is really difficult. But, and the other problem with this, and the 24 brings us up, and Lost is also a victim of this, is like, while they were popular shows, a lot of networks won't touch them because they're hard to syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just, like, put on a random episode of Lost during the week and say, I'm just going to watch this, because you're going to need to know what's happening.
That's why at one point Nickelodeon had a standing policy of never having an actual ending for a TV series, because they wanted to make sure that they could run any episode at any time, so that anyone who watched it would know, okay, this is what episode, okay, cool, and that's what they did back in the day. So, and they still do it today, too, but...
I mean, iCarly got a proper farewell.
Yeah, they got a proper farewell, iCarly. Avatar got a proper farewell,
I think Drake and Josh. I think the other thing is, and maybe, I mean, I'm sure we were smart enough at this as well, but I think the other thing is, like, it's just really hard to believe in villains anymore if they can't win.
Yeah.
Like, when we were kids, like, you'd fight the Shredder week in and week out, and the Shredder would never win. And you just kept on doing it. But after a while, if you do this for, like, 50 episodes in a row, why are we going to consider the Shredder a threat?
Exactly. I mean, that's how that's one thing that shows are getting less and less afraid to do of, you know, let the villain win and let the heroes fight back against the villain and actually let the villains be considered a genuine threat.
The reason I thought of this was the example with the new Thundercats show.
Yeah.
Because in the old one, Momura would show up every episode, he'd get his ass beat, and he'll go about his way. In this one, they made him a huge threat where, like, almost every fight they had, and they saved it up. It wouldn't be every episode. It'd be every, like, 10th episode or something. He'll show up, and he would kick their asses. And it's, you know, it helped because Zino and the Thundercats had to evolve as characters. They had to... And it made Momura this standing threat that eventually, you know, they would have to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the wrestling philosophy where you can't have a bad guy who never wins because then once the good guy's victories work.
Exactly.
And yes, this is just opening up my Dolph Ziggler John Cena rant for next week.
that's how like things have evolved. I mean, when you actually have the villains come off as a threat, when you actually still let, and you can still have the heroes be heroes, but you actually give them something to fight for. I mean, even, like, I'll actually even go back to another serialized series that Disney did back in was Gargoyles. That was another serialized show that still has them done in one episodes, but it became a dead-on serialized show that actually had an ongoing plot line that you had to follow, and it actually did fairly well for a decent period of time.
Until they fucked them.
Yeah,
they did really well, and then they decided, we don't like this, change it.
And that's when they did Goliath Chronicles, and, you know,
yeah.
Shit happened there.
I mean, kind of on the same note, and I always hate praising this show, is I think Batman the Animated Series did a good job. It wasn't serialized in any real fashion, but there was permanence to the events that happened in the show. So it wouldn't be like, oh, you know what, Mr. Freeze origins. Okay, we're going to have Mr. Freeze show up again, and he's going to be the same exact character. He evolved over the course of the show. Catwoman evolved over the course of the show. Penguin evolved over the course of the show. Batman and his sidekicks evolved over the course of the show. And that's one of the things, I think a lot of things they miss with these one-and-done episodes, is I hate when characters have to earn the same lesson time in and time out. Like, it has to stick at some point. You don't teach them this 10 times and they still don't get it.
Yeah, it's more you have to, if you have something major happen to a character, you can't just retcon it and like, or in the next, it's like, back to the unserious, it's back to the goofy fun or whatever crap we need to do in this show. It's more, no, big stuff happens. Leave it.
I don't want to get into this too much because I've marathoned two Power Rangers series in the past 2 weeks.
Oh, God.
Just because I couldn't find anything on Netflix to watch, and Power Rangers is kind of an empty entertainment. Like, there's nothing, you know, like, and my problem with Power Rangers is it's kind of the same thing. But Power Rangers does this weird thing where they introduce a character flaw for an episode because they need to focus on that character and make them overcome something. Mm-hmm. But it's not a character flaw that the character exhibits before or after that episode. And it always drives me nuts. Like you know what you're going to do. You know that, like, there's a formula to this. You introduce a team. You focus on the Red Ranger. You focus on the Blue Ranger. Every Ranger has an episode. You know what you're going to do with these characters. Mm-hmm. Introduce these character flaws ahead of time and then make it so it makes more sense, instead of saying, like, okay, we need something for them to overcome this episode. Let's just put something in here for them, and then we'll never, like... The last series I watched, one of the Rangers was a dance teacher. That was never brought up or mentioned in the show. She was a dance teacher for one episode. She had a pupil, and that pupil or her dance school were never seen again.
They're getting a little better about that, and I've noticed some shows are getting a little better about that, but Power Rangers they still have that old formula of, crap, we need to give someone a flaw. You're going to have da-da-da-da. Okay, Joes, write a script. okay, sure, let's do this. I mean, it's not like, at least, and of course, for Power Rangers, though, by golly, it's still on today. That's what's amazing to me. Power Rangers is still on today. It's gone through.
I think partially because they abandoned the serialized nature. Yes, and it's odd to say part, but like, the first 5 seasons or so were connected.
Yeah.
They had an overarching story. They had villains who kind of had relationships. And once they finished that arc, they just kind of, like, everything's a one and done season.
Yeah.
So even if, and you know, like, they get to, I think part of the reason for showing Jeopardy is they get to reboot it every
season. Exactly.
New characters, new powers, new swords, new enemies. So, like, if one season's pretty poor, they can just say, we're going to, you know, we've heard your complaints, we're going to fix it next season.
And it's instead of, and pretty much it also lends itself to the classic Sentai saga of just new series, new team, okay, new powers, okay, go. And it actually brings it closer to the origins of the whole thing.
I was going to say, the other thing is that, as you mentioned, it's based off of other footage, so half of the bill isn't them paying for
it.
That's
what's hilarious about the old series, when they had it, like, the same team over and over and over, and they had to reformat the old footage. I'm like, oh, jeez. Because it's always comical when you suddenly have, like, the more modern footage of, like, the old... Because Zoo Ranger was, when it came out, it was like a little bit of an older series when they put it into Power Rangers back in the day. So you saw the older footage that's a little bit of slightly lower film quality mixed in with the newer quality film, and you're going, okay.
I think you're being generous. I eat older.
Okay, I am being generous here. I'll be more blunt. Yeah, it was freaking old as dirt.
Even as a kid, you knew that stuck out.
It's like it stuck out like a sore thumb when you're watching, like, this, like Zoo Ranger was produced, like, in, I think, about mid to late 80s. Yeah. It was about, like, screw it, I have to look this up really, very quickly. It won't take me long. But it's Zoo Ranger, holy crap, it was in 92!
But yeah, really? That footage... And now what happens is they use way too much CG. I hate TV CG.
Wow. that footage really didn't age well, because, like, man, it does show differences in our TV production qualities during that period, too. Interesting. But now everything is CG now, and, like, there was a charm to that footage, and then now there was a charm to that old-school Sentai footage, and now it's... And now it's like it's all CG, and you're like, ugh. Sometimes it looks okay. Other times it looks pretty ugly.
I assume it caters to the audience, though. I mean kids, it's more cartoony, I guess.
But of course, then you look at, say, like, the early example of CG in a series of Reboot, which, and then you look at, like, the first couple seasons, they don't age well. Oh man, the first 2 seasons of the Reboot don't age well. they're still fun. You can still appreciate the writing, but the actual animation quality doesn't age as well. It's when you get into the third and fourth, the last couple seasons of the series, in which the series ages better on that CG. So I get to make up for not mentioning Reboot in the 90s series now. Finally get to rectify that mistake. Yes.
Do you ever feel weird or about watching kids' shows? Because I know they're...
No.
Well, not the ones I watch.
No.
That's why I like Adventure Time, because I don't see it as being just a kid's show. I see it as being a show that everyone likes, that everyone can watch. Exactly. As opposed to the shows I like that kids can't watch. If it was like something like, I don't like Pokemon or stuff like that, I could never get into it, because that's so obviously just for kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pokemon, I think, would be different. I don't watch it.
I know.
But I think Pokemon would be more of a nostalgia thing, because, if you think about it, when Pokemon first debuted, that was, 13, 14 years ago now? So for a lot of people, it would either be like their continuing... Okay. A good example is like the Brony move.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I think it was he's a huge fan of his organization.
I've seen a little bit of My Little Pony, and I can see why there's that movement, but I don't fully get it. But I can understand.
I don't get it either, and I don't really want to watch the show to see why.
I mean, I've seen enough of it to kind of go, okay, I get why there's a movement like this. I just don't want to watch. This is not something I can watch all the time, though. It's more, it's okay. It's fine.
Bella got into it for a short period, and she's had it on all the time on Netflix. I was like, ugh. I mean, I didn't hate it. I didn't, like, actively, like, I can't watch this. But I was just like, I have nothing to... I wasn't getting the whole thing. I don't get it.
Again, it's probably a show I need to check out, but it doesn't seem like there's an... You know, like, again, with, like, you mentioned Adventure Time, and, like, there doesn't seem to be a lot of subtext to it.
Yeah, there's really no subtext to My Little Pony.
Not that
I've really seen. There's really not that much subtext there. It's more, here's, like, it's kind of funny. I mean, one of the people who worked on the Powerpuff Girls, she was one of the people behind this series, and there's a lot of that Perry Powerpuff style sort of subversive kind of humor in there from time to time. But it's not as, like, blatant as some of the other... Like, some of the stuff that actually is much more for everyone, like Adventure Time and Adventure Time and other shows.
Oh, Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls had a lot of that. Of course, that's...
Yeah, they're rebooting that.
Yeah, they're rebooting that soon. That's interesting. Uh-huh. I'm going to be keeping an eye on that.
And honestly speaking, I mean, I've said this before, if DC... Because the person who produces My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, or whatever it's called, also does the Super Best Friends shorts on the DC Nation.
Those are awesome.
And if DC ever made a show out of that, I'd be on the team. I'd be sitting there every Saturday morning watching that show. So maybe she brings that same type of quality and charm to My Little Pony that we just haven't.
She's not as much, like, from what I, like, she, like, the best parts I've seen mostly, like, some of the first season of it. Like, I've seen about 4 episodes of it. I've seen about 4 episodes of it. And it was, like, of the first season. And I said, okay, not too bad. I can see why people get into this, but it's like, and those are the stuff that she had a lot more involvement in, as I read on earlier. Like, okay, I can get it. And I would like, if you haven't watched it, I mean, watch an episode, see what you think. I mean, it's an interesting thing to catch at least one episode of. It's not serialized, so you can literally just go, okay.
Yeah, and apparently it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
So maybe one week when we don't have a topic like this, we'll all watch episodes of with a full Farrell's report.
Oh, that!
I think perhaps those ponies should look to the leadership, maybe take over the city.
And we'll have Nicholas in full Bane voice for.
That's right, motherfuckers! I have returned. Are you prepared for the fire that is coming, gentlemen?
Yes, we will have Nicholas in full Bane voice as he conveys his feelings on My Little Pony, talking in that voice, and it will be awesome.
I don't find that friendship is magic. I find that friendship is pain. And pain is what I thrive in.
And pain isn't everything.
So, I mean, I guess to start wrapping up, since we kind of do, are there any kids shows, cartoons, or live action that you're looking forward to premiering in the next couple of months?
I look forward to the Bane Adventures, starring Bane. It is about things that Bane likes to do. Bane activities in a Bane world. Everybody, if you can, do the Bane. Shake your body, turn it on if you can.
For some reason, I have the Urban Single theme song stuck in my head now.
What theme song was that again, Earl?
Different single.
Oh, God.
Type world.
Bane is not living single. Bane is living large and in charge, gentlemen.
I was about to say, Bane's not different either, but...
It's all of your libidos.
God.
Ladies.
Now I'm going to come with this whole characterization as Bane as a party animal.
Hey, Warner Brothers, here's your toy idea. Party animal Bane.
Party
I'm just
animal
gonna really Bane. Derail some future episode and just go into a thing about Bane's reality show. He's looking for love.
Bane is looking for love. In all the wrong places. Looking for love.
I should tell you, my last girlfriend got me killed by a woman on a motorcycle. How does that make you feel, Miranda?
Honestly, that actually would be kind of funny. I could pull off a nice, like, reality show interview voice and or whatever, and just be the narrator for Bane's adventures in being a party animal and in love.
I have in my hand 5 masks. I see that there are 6 women. One of you will be going home.
Oh, God, Bane on The Bachelor. Yes.
Give the mask. Oh, my God, I'm writing this.
Yes, that would be awesome. Like, and yes, Bane on The Bachelor would be the greatest thing. It's too bad it's on ABC. Brother Station, or my God, that would be. Bane looking for love. Bane's looking for love, and it'd be the entire use the mask, and every week, like you will be right. Like, I'm not even trying to do the Bane voice, but
next week on Fox.
Yes, that would be awesome. That would actually be ratings. I smell it. I smell the money.
Tune in for the Bane Adventures, Gotham Underground. Watch as my Bane find the true love of my life and the killer.
You are welcome.
God. Oh boy.
Yeah, I think we derailed a podcast that had no topic, which is still very
that
special.
That was pretty horrid. It had no topic. And of course, the title of Random BS Nerds on the Rocks is still in there.
I'm an agent of...
Yes, is there anything else you gentlemen want to say before we wrap up?
Buy my album! My album's out. Buy my album. My solo album's finally out. Go to howbecameinvisible.com. It's cool. It's about the planet. And people seem to enjoy it. I don't know if either of you gentlemen have listened to it, but I enjoy it.
I need to listen to it. I truly... I actually need to make a point to listen to the sucker.
howbecameinvisible.com. It is actually... It's streaming there, and it's also on sale for Woo-hoo! $7 for 9 tracks.
How many dollars again?
Seven. $7. I think you got a free copy, correct, Earl? Because you donated?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I downloaded it. I just need to make time to listen to it. I've been dealing with some stuff outside of their site, so...
I would recommend listening to it very loud. And when you get to track 5, turn it up even louder so everyone around you can hear it as my friend makes orgasm noises in the background of a song.
Okay.
And I'm not going to tell you where in the song it is, but you'll know.
Does it have a reason?
Oh, yeah. It kind of has a reason. I don't want to tell you what happens before you get there, though. I'll just say that when my dad came in the studio to record bass for one of the songs, I played him that. I was like, Bruce, put this song for my dad. And he's listening. He's like, Nick, I can't say I'm disappointed in you because this is awesome.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Up on the site now, we have a poll asking about the premier N64 shooter. Currently, it's between GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, and Turok. Nobody's voted Turok so far. I mean, Turok was awesome back in the day, people.
Was anybody going to vote for anything other than GoldenEye?
It's tied between GoldenEye and Perfect Dark right
that
now.
That makes sense, yeah.
I like Perfect Dark, but GoldenEye murders it.
But I think that's where the poll
is. And I said GoldenEye.
There was a discussion yesterday on Twitter about which was the better game, Perfect Dark or GoldenEye. And there's an argument to be made for either one, I think. I just threw up Turok there to make sure I wasn't ripping off somebody completely. And I think Turok was a big deal in the N64 era.
Mm-hmm.
The game quality went downhill quickly, but it was up there at the time. So it is that. We'll continue Jim Carrey's sequel month.
Oh, you poor man. Why the hell are you doing that to yourself?
Because I had to find a new, I had to find a new bottom, and right now I think Son of the Mask, and I've seen a lot of bad movies, so take my word when I say it. Son of the Mask is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I couldn't get through 15 minutes of it, dude. I didn't last. I saw like a little bit one, I'm like, no. I'm good.
And it gets worse.
Oh, God, help me. It gets worse.
For an hour and a half. I Dumb and Dumberer was bad. but Son of the Mask topped that somehow. So that's like the ground
zero. I realized there was a Nintendo. I always loved that when I realized back in the day there was a Nintendo Power contest involving winning a role on The Mask 2. And I went,
yep.
I'm like, yeah. I wonder what they did about that. It's like, well, they're making it. Still want your part in The Mask 2. I'd love to know the story behind that one day, really. Just love to know who won that contest and their story of if they actually got to be in Son of the Mask, like in some cameo role.
I'm assuming it was Jamie Kennedy.
Maybe it could have been him. It could have been. That actually would, if that would have actually be true, I would, that would be fun.
It was always his dream to make the Son of the Mask sequel, and it's always odd to see the people they get for these films, because someone, and 1 week we should have a podcast where we just kind of go through people who don't say no to movies and some of the roles they take.
There's a lot. You do feel like...
Just Eugene Levy, Nick Cage,
Sam Jackson. Might as well just call it Nicolas Cage the podcast.
Nicolas Cage the podcast. Or also you could say Burt Reynolds when he was bankrupt. And...
I think we've mentioned it before, but I think it would be an interesting podcast.
It would be hilarious. Because there's so many of them. There's more than you'd realize of people who just won't say no to a movie.
Yeah, I don't know why. But I bring this up because Eugene Levy's in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, Eugene Levy is also one of those guys happy to just do whatever. He doesn't care.
Yeah, because I mean, I could be mistaken, but I believe he's the only guy who's been in all the American Pie.
He doesn't care. He really doesn't. Like, you're paying me? Sweet.
Yeah. Bringing down the house. Yeah, he's... But we'll schedule that for another... But yeah, we actually have a podcast scheduled for the next 2.5 months, so we can actually tell you what's coming up. Next week, as we mentioned earlier, is the Royal Rumble podcast. Mm-hmm. So, that's to be expected. Racine. I know some people aren't huge on it. It happens. after that, in 2 weeks, I believe, is the Watch the Shit Bitches Awards.
Yeah.
Movie Awards. No, actually, that's in 3 weeks. 2 weeks after that is actually Nerd Bowl 2 for the Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
I'm going to try something different. I don't really know how it works out in my head, but instead of doing, like, a custom teams, we're going to try to create actual football teams and have them go up against each other during that weekend. Then we're doing Watch the Shit Bitches, and we'll have more on that on the site so people can send in their nomination, I mean, their picks and stuff like that.
That'd be fun, actually. That sounds really cool.
But, you know, as always, you can catch Nicholas's A to Z Cinema every Tuesday on the site.
Yes.
And we have Trent does his Ask a Dork every week, so you can always send in questions for him. Stuff like that. I will continue to re-watch terrible movies.
You poor soul.
At some point, I have to admit I enjoy doing it, or I wouldn't have been doing it for years.
I am just saying, man, one day I am going to get you to watch Fantasy Mission Force for your 151-proof movie.
It can't be worse than I found it. I mean, at this point, I don't know if we have a bottom.
Dude, I want you to watch Fantasy Mission Force to see if your liver survives the experience.
Okay, to be honest, is that I don't go past six beers for any movie. So, okay. It's a mental thing that I know how much it takes me to get wasted, and I know that if I do six beers and generally speaking, about an hour and a half, 2 hours, that's gone. So that's usually my six-pack already. That's pretty much my ceiling. So it's kind of my cutoff point. If I'm out with friends, that's different. But if I'm doing it at home, I know well enough to plan ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I will never get. I'm not gonna say I'm never gonna get sick, because who knows? But I always make sure that it's never to the point where I'm gonna black out while watching terrible movies.
Yeah, that would be an interesting story. It's like, what happened? Like, I blacked out watching Son of the Mask.
My friend who does it with me blacks out during these movies. He's done it during The Spirit. He's done it during he's done it during The Covenant.
Okay.
There's been a couple of movies, and it's just like he'll just die, and it sucks because I want to continue because it's hard to jump back in because you don't want to watch a movie halfway through that you should have been drinking at, and you don't want to watch these movies sober. So like, most of these movies don't get finished, but whatever.
I've watched Fantasy Mission Force 3 times sober, so that so answers that. I mean, I would love to see the challenge of someone watching Fantasy Mission Force and see what happens when you're drunk trying to watch the movie.
But yes, I think that will do it for this week's episode. Nicholas has to get back to work.
Mm-hmm.
I need to finish edit this thing down.
Cool.
But Nicholas, Wesley, and myself, this has been Nurse Marock's episode 120.